it is sin, you know. And so my prayer this morning, is that we allow God to open our hearts and minds to receive what he wants to say this morning. I am just a messenger. So I pray that we constantly examine our relationship with Christ. What I see by all the studies going on, and Carl's leading the men, and I see a very active church, or the body of Christ in the Word. And being a youth pastor several months ago, for a couple of years, my desire was to preach the Word of God. Because oftentimes with youth pastors and pastors, they make this mistake that we can bring forth videos and certain curriculum. And you know what? Let me tell you, our kids, and I say this respectfully, our kids will swallow that up because they love videos. They love the entertainment. They love that. Well, what they need is the Word of God, because that is the only thing that's going to penetrate, and it's going to reveal to them and to all of us our sinful nature, you know, and these kids are struggling. You'd be surprised how many kids come to me. Pastor, can you pray with me? I had a young man yesterday call me because I share the Word of God with him at the church. They from a different school, they come in and we minister to these six kids and we share the Word of God. And this young man told me, because I filled in on a Friday, he goes, Pastor, can I talk to you? I go, yeah. What's up, son? Hey, I think my girlfriend's pregnant. Wow. So really? Do you know for sure? And he goes, no, I think so. I said, I tell you what, right now is not the time to talk about it. Give me a call tomorrow. He called me yesterday, and I was praying, Lord, Lord, if there's any way. He called me and we talked, and he goes, Pastor, she found out she's not pregnant. I'm like, whew, thank you. And, you know, I began to share with this young man. I told him, son, I love you, but I'm going to shoot it to you straight. You have a desire to serve God. You've expressed that. You've told me that, right? And he goes, yes. Let me tell you something. This is not a representation of being a Christ-like man of God. And I shared with him in love. I shared with him, and I said, from now on, I'm going to hold you accountable. Every week you come into my class, I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to give you questions pertaining. We're going to go through the same book in the Word of God, and I'm going to hold you accountable. So I could sense his relief. I could sense, you know, yeah. And our children, let me tell you, we think this is too hard, too abrasive, too offensive to them. It's only abrasive and offensive if we are not living according to God's standard. But when we are, let me tell you, it is our anchor. It is the very thing we run to when we face a challenge. And this is what our kids need to know. They need to know that the Word of God, and what I'm sharing today, the Word of God is powerful. So, you know, keep our children in prayer, please. You know, sometimes we assume that they're okay. There's a lot of our kids that are cutting themselves, a lot of kids that are depressed. And I'm talking about Christian kids. A lot of them that are contemplating suicide right now in the Southeast Valley. There's an epidemic, they call it, of kids committing suicide. You know why? Because they have no hope. So I pray this message today ministers to us. I know it did for me. And I like to start off, if I may, after this we'll pray. Today's message is, Lord, to whom shall we go? Lord, to whom shall we go? And that comes from the book of John in chapter 6, the latter part of 6. But I want to share this story with you because it's a very powerful story. And I shared this several months ago at Calvary. And it's about this little boy raised on a farm. little town off of nowhere. And one day he heard that the circus was coming to his hometown. And he was so excited. He saw pictures and read magazines. And he saw that it was coming to his hometown. And he ran to his father, "Dad, Dad, the circus is coming to our town. Can I go?" And the father takes a step back, goes, "If you do all of your chores, yes, you can go. And you know what? In fact, I'll give you the dollar bill to go in." So the day of the circus came, and he finished his chores and ran to his dad. And his dad gladly gave him the dollar bill, and he ran to the middle of town, and he heard this wonderful music. He began to see this procession, a parade, and he saw the band playing, and it's just he was in amazement. Such beautiful music, and what followed the music was the announcer, the circus announcer, talking about the different entertainment, the acrobats, and all the animals and stuff. And he sat there and he just stood holding his little dollar. And all of a sudden, he sees the cages. He sees the lions and the tigers, and he sees the elephants and the bears and the giraffe. And just he's standing there amazed. And what seemed like hours, he stood there and he just... Finally, he saw at the end of the parade, he saw all the clowns smiling, making balloons and playing with the kids and just making everybody laugh. And he sees this one last clown. Then he runs to the clown and he gives him his dollar bill. And the clown looks at him and thanks him, you know, and then goes off. And the little boy turns around, and he heads back home. Not realizing that he missed the main event. He thought the parade was the circus. He missed the main event. Let me get my eyeballs on. The sad reality is this. Many Christians are like this little boy. They come and listen to the praise music. They listen to the messenger teaching and instruction. Then they listen to the last song. Then they leave and go home. But they missed the main attraction. They missed God. If you're here today and you come only once a week, and that's why I bring up these other studies, because it's just not on a Sunday morning that you're in the Word. It's on a Wednesday, it's on a Tuesday, it's a women's meeting, men's meeting, Saturday. Wow. But if you come once a week and say, you know what, then you're watching the parade. And this little boy, let me tell you, this little boy was satisfied with that. He didn't know. But many Christians come in and they've witnessed the main attraction and they're content with the parade. I'm good. Yeah, Sundays. Yeah, I'm good. And never during the week open their Word of God and read it. They're just watching the parade go by. And many, sadly to say, many are satisfied and content with that. You know, when I shared this at Calvary, this message, an elderly man came to me. He goes, "Pastor, can I speak with you?" He goes, "Sure, sir, what can I do for you?" He goes, "I'm that little kid." "Sir, I've been watching the parade for 32 years. But now I want to go deep. I want to go deeper in my relationship." "Really, sir? Do you really? Do you really?" And it's interesting because I introduced him to the men's mentoring program or process we have. We have a women's there as well. And I said, "Sir, it's going to be a 36-week process." "Okay." I said, no, you didn't hear me. I said, "It's going to be a 36-week, once a week meeting, 36 weeks. He goes, "You know, Pastor, I spent 32 years watching this parade go by. I think I can invest 36 weeks. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My question to us today here, and then we'll pray. Why are you here? Are you to watch the parade? Or do you really want the main attraction, which is Jesus Christ? Because let me tell you, saints, a lot of churches are going through the motions. Dennis and I talk back there. Churches are now trying to entertain you and blow your eardrums out so you can't even hear the word. I'm not putting them down, but pray for them. Our kids don't need entertainment. We don't need entertainment. We can get that any day of the week. What we need is the Word of God. Because just like our kids, just like us, we need to be, the sin in our lives need to be revealed, and we need to surrender that. We need to surrender daily. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to your glorious throne this morning, and I thank you, Lord, for the honor, for the privilege of speaking once again to my brothers and sisters here in Fountain Hills. What an honor that is, Lord. I thank you. Father, we do lift up Pastor Rick and Cheryl and the family as they enjoy some time in California, Lord. We do pray for their protection. Father, allow them to rest if they can. And Father, bless them. Bless their family time. And Father, I thank you for Pastor Rick. This man has been so instrumental in my walk with you, Lord. He's demonstrated not only that he would desire for other men to come along and preach the word, but he's truly shown what a true friend and a true man of God is. So I thank you, Pastor Rick and the family. Continue, Lord, to bless them there. Father, I thank you for the saints here, Lord. I thank you that this church is on fire for you. Father, that's evident because of the word that's being taught. So I do pray for these men and women here, Lord, my brothers and sisters. Continue, Lord, to minister to them. Continue, Father, to keep that fire burning for you. Lord, I do pray that we allow our hearts and minds to be open to receive from your Spirit today. Lord, if there's anything, Lord, that is hindering us from receiving what you want to say, Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that we lay it aside. Father, it is a choice. We can either receive this word or ignore it and go through our merry way. But I do pray for your Spirit to refresh us. Renew us, Father. Renew us this morning. I thank you, Lord, for this church and here in this community. I do pray for this community, Father, that you prepare the hearts and minds, Father, to see this light on this corner. And that light is you. Thank you, Father, for the honor, for the privilege of being able to speak again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please turn your Bibles to John chapter 6. And as you're turning there, we're going to start in verse 20. Let me make sure my notes are here. Verse 22. But I want to kind of paint a picture what happens in the beginning of that chapter. And all of us know the story. Jesus is there and he's sitting there, and all of a sudden a multitude gathered. It says in the word that there's 5,000 men, but we can safely assume there's maybe about 10,000 or 15,000 people with the wives and the women and the children. So he begins and he looks at his disciples and he says, "How are we going to feed them?" And I'm paraphrasing here, and Philip's freaking out. "We don't have enough money to feed them, Lord." So he knew this just to test them. And he says, you know, they brought 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and we know that he prayed and he handed it out, and they got 12 basketfuls of leftovers. And the point of this is understand that these multitude, they saw this miracle. They saw this miracle, okay? And then after that, everybody was satisfied. He sent the disciples over on a boat into the lake, across the lake. He said, "I'll catch up to you." He went off into the mountains to pray. So the next morning comes, and that's where this passage of scripture starts. But remember what's happened, a miracle. And these people saw that. And we'll pick it up in verse 22. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw Jesus, that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Okay, imagine the picture. Now, some of the multitude get in the boats and they go across the Sea of Galilee to Tiberias. And they ask him, "Lord, how did you get here? How did you come here?" And Jesus says this. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Let me pause there for a moment. We see that Jesus calls him on the carpet. "You seek me not because of the signs that I've done. You seek me because you want a free handout, because I fed you." Then he begins to teach them, don't be concerned about this temporal food or the temporal things of this life, but seek him who gives eternal life. And I want to address us, because I've sat with many men that are so consumed with this temporary life. "Oh, my 401k is doing this. It's not doing this. It's, brother, it's all going to burn." So I want us to see something here. Even in Christianity, we can still have that works mentality. That's why they said, what can we do? What works can we do? There's nothing we can do. But Jesus says, to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Me. Believe in me. So anyway, we see something interesting here because now these, remember, they're followers, okay? And in the word, it calls them disciples. And what happens is that we see something that is happening in the church today. They begin to challenge his authority. They begin to even challenge his deity. And I'll explain it as I go. And they even challenge him with scripture. Imagine. Babe, can you give me a tissue, please? This is what they say next. Therefore, they said to him, "What sign will you perform that we may see it and believe you?" What work will you do? Imagine Jesus hearing this question. And he probably said, "Apparently you weren't at the Fountain Hills Calvary Chapel picnic yesterday when I fed the multitude. Well, I guess you weren't there." But we see they begin to challenge. "What? Show us a sign then." But let's bring it home. Many people continue to seek God for what God can do for them. "What are you going to do for me today, God? I came to church. I paid my tithes. What are you going to do for me today?" Then they say, "Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Imagine who they're speaking to. Okay? And Jesus just... Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then he said to him, then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." Then Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe." They are so wrapped up. And I say this, saints, what concerns me is that our some of our Christian churches are so wrapped up in numbers. We need to do this. We need to do that. We need to do this. We need to have these numbers. God is not interested in numbers. He will bring in the numbers when we begin to preach the Word of God. It's not us that's going before and reaching these souls. We can save no one. We can't even save ourselves. But we see the challenge here. We see that, and he's just beginning to start this. We see here Jesus is going to go a little deeper. And those watching the parade, let me tell you, he's going to blow them out of the water. In verse 37, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven," hear this, "for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at that last day." Then the Jews complained about him. Okay, let me refresh your memory. These are followers of Jesus Christ. That's what it says, disciples. They follow him. Okay. Then the Jews complained about him and said, because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall be taught by God.' Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." Pause there for a moment. Let me tell you what happens when you stop fellowshipping with like-minded believers. That's why I'm so encouraged. You guys are meeting all the time. Wow, praise the Lord. This is what happens. Pretty soon we isolate ourselves. We even stop going to church. We stop praying. We stop reading. And all of a sudden we get on the internet. Oh, that's a Christian website. Let me check that out. All of a sudden, we begin to read doctrine and all this, and it sounds good, but it's heresy, man. You'd be surprised how many people have come to me. Some of my own family members have come to me. "Did you know this about?" I said, "What, bro? It doesn't say that in the Word of God. What kind of gibberish are you speaking here?" Let me tell you, when we separate ourselves from the body of Christ, we are open to the devil's lies, the traps. He himself says in the word that he comes as an angel of light. And these people thinking they're gaining knowledge in the word, when they're allowed to hear it to them for themselves, they're like, wow, I said that? That's kind of stupid, isn't it? I say, I didn't want to say that word, bro, but yeah. This is the point I'm trying to make. Our kids, that's what they're doing. Every single child that I minister to, every single child that has come to me, I'll ask them the very first question, are you in your Bible? Are you reading your Bible? And they're not 100%, no. And you're surprised you're where you're at? Are you surprised? Our kids, many of our kids see this as outdated, old-fashioned. But they don't see that it is the very blood and the flesh of Christ that we need. And we'll get to that here in a minute. You know, sometimes we read the word and, you know, we're on fire for the word. But let me say this respectfully. There's many Christians that don't get it. What Jesus Christ did on that cross, we don't get it. We don't get it. We don't get it. In the very word of God. In the word. Who's the word? Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the word. And I love what verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. These kids need to understand that. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Even in Revelation, which you're studying, it talks about the rider on the white horse. Who is that? And his name is the Word of God. Who is that? None other than Jesus, our King. Our kids need to hear that. Because some of them are so lost. Some of them are so hopeless that they don't know, they don't see it. And if we as the elder generation cannot even invest our time with them, we're going to lose them. Parents come to me, can you come talk to my child? He's contemplating suicide. Are you reading the Word of God with him? Are you praying with him? Guys, you guys know this. We have children come into our classes at church for 3 hours a week. Three. But the rest of the week, they are saturated with the filth of this world. Man. So now let's go deeper. It says, not that as anyone has seen the Father in verse 46, except he who is from the from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Let's not blow through these stop signs here. Okay? Sometimes we just blow through them and we don't even catch it. He who believes in me, Jesus says, talking to the multitude, me. Has everlasting life. And it's interesting, my son and I, we always have these clever conversations, man. He's just like, boom, he challenges me, but he's awesome. And I've asked him, hey, son, if you're standing before Jesus Christ and he says, why should I allow you into heaven? What are you going to say? I was a good person. I went to church sometimes. Yeah, I read my Bible sometimes. What are you going to say? He goes, Dad, I'm going to quote him on his word. I'm going to hold him to his word. Okay, what do you mean by that, son? Well, 1 John 5, 11 through 13 says this, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. And this is written for those who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal. I'm a holy God. You said, once I believe in your Son, once I believe in Jesus Christ, I am sealed until the day of redemption. Yep, that's right. Our kids need to hear that. So here, he says, he who believes in me has eternal, everlasting life. I am the bread of life, he says. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. It was only temporary. In fact, it was only a shadow of things to come. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. Okay, they're good for this point. They're there. Okay, we're with you. We're with you, Jesus. We're with you. Now he blows their minds. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Okay, hold up. I read this to some of the kids. What? He's talking about cannibalism here? Kids, so precious. No. Understand what he's saying. Understand what he's saying. And we'll see it here. Because the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Guys, if we are not eating this daily, this is what he's talking about. You know, there's a psalm that says, when I discovered your words, I devoured them. And I know most of you here, when you open the Word of God, it takes your breath away. It just like, God, this is God speaking to me. Again, 53. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. We see that in Scripture. He who abides in me and in my word, I will abide in him. Guys, if we think we can go through this Christian walk without the word of God, we're deceiving ourselves. If these children think they can get through this life without the word of God, they're deceiving themselves. You know, I know I reflect a lot on our kids. But saints, we often say this is the next generation. Let me tell you guys something. This may very be well the last Christian generation. Because our kids, let me tell you, for the most part, let me tell you, and I say this with a broken heart, a lot of our kids want nothing to do with God. Man. They're on Facebook. They're on social media. Hey, when are you going to read your Bible? Yeah, I'll get to it. You know, well, what breaks my heart even more, saints, is adults are just as hooked on social media. First thing they do, wake up. Check my Facebook. Oh, wow, look, yeah, you know. Come on, check my Facebook. And all the while, God's like, hey, how about me? Hey, how about me? How much time are you going to spend with me? How much time? Oh, I see you spend 16 hours a day in Facebook, but you can't even spend 15 minutes with me?
And you say you're growing? You're watching the parade.
Verse 57. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Let's catch our breath for a moment here. Because what happens next is heartbreaking. Verse 60. Therefore, many of his followers, when they heard this, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" Let me tell you, when I did the research on what that meant, it's not that they didn't understand what Jesus was saying. It's that they could not tolerate it. And it's coming and it's growing, saints, that even Christians cannot tolerate. There's many Christian churches out there that don't even teach Revelation. Oh, it's scary. It's really? Now we can pick and choose what we want to read? But he says, they are saying, we can't tolerate this. We can't tolerate this. We kind of like watching the parade go by. But I want you to go deeper. And this is what brings us to understand what he meant. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about, he said to them, "Does this offend you?" They were offended. They were offended. He says, "You know what? You follow me because what I can give you, what you want, the scraps from the table. But you're missing the main attraction. You're missing it. Does this offend you?" He says. Then what then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? And right here we're going to see a perfect picture of the triunity of God. It is the Spirit, Holy Spirit, who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Guys, our flesh wants nothing to do with God. It's a constant battle. And right now, our youth, man, they're losing this battle because they're so wrapped up in their flesh. And some saints as well. Some saints are so wrapped up in their flesh, and they wonder why they're not growing in Jesus Christ. Duh. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by my Father." Okay, put yourself there. Imagine the scene. The multitude around. Verse 66. From that time. From what time? From the time of the offense. From the time that you were offended. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Guys, we have a choice. When the word of God offends you, we have a choice. We can ignore it and continue in our way. Or we can say, "God, forgive me, I repent." We have a choice. What we see here, many of them, of his disciples, went back and walked with him no more. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Jesus? You know, oftentimes we see Jesus and we think that he had no feelings. Come on. You imagine he sees the multitude walking away and I can imagine with tears. But I love this next part. Then Jesus said to his dirty dozen, he said to his 12, do you want to go away also? Do you also want to go away? And you guys, I love Peter. I mean, his head was harder than that wood, but you know, so is ours. And Peter goes, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Saints, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? Back to the slop? Back to the pig slop? Where are we going to go? Oh, good old Peter, you have the words of eternal life. Also, this is powerful. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That only comes spending time with Jesus Christ. When we can say that, Father, I have no other option. You are it. I have nowhere else to go. Where am I going to go, Lord? Back to that. Many Christians, let me tell you what our human nature will resort to, something we're used to, and we're used to this pig slop over here. I've seen many Christians, what are you doing, bro? What? What are you doing? Wow. What? You've gone back to the vomit? Are you serious? In closing, praise the Lord. I was going to stay till 2:30, but I know you guys got to do something, so. Amen, amen. You know, many in Christian churches come, and I shared this months ago, 50% that come, 50% that call themselves, 50% don't even have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They're coming in, going through the motions, watching the parade, and you know what? Those 50%, they're good with it. They're content. This little boy, he missed it. But he didn't have any clue that he missed it. What's sad is people come in and they've witnessed God's glory. They've witnessed a miracle, whatever. They witnessed the main attraction. And you say, you know what, Lord? That kind of offends me. I think I'll stick with the parade. I'm good with that. I'll come once a week, Sunday, pay my little dollar bill, whatever, and I'll go on my merry way. There's going to be a lot of judgment day surprises for saints and Christians. Oh, man, and I don't say that to mock. I really don't. Man. So questions again, and then I'll wrap this up. Are you here just for the parade? Because I know Pastor Rick and Cheryl ain't. I know most of you ain't. I know the men and women that I've talked to this morning ain't. They want the main attraction. They want Jesus Christ. And if you're here in this room and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, let me tell you, you're watching a different parade. Your parade is filled with depression, anxiety, no hope, loneliness, bitterness, anger, and suicidal thoughts. That's your parade. But I want to tell you, there's hope. There's hope. Jesus Christ loves you. And Jesus Christ desires to have a personal relationship with you. Once again, saints, I am honored. I am honored. There is a community out there that is lost, that is waiting for you to say, hey, Jesus loves you. Jesus desires to have a personal relationship with you. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm not, none of that. Let people see your faith in action instead of just hearing it. Amen. Let's pray.